Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 8, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book, Bill's Story, page 12, second paragraph, my friend suggested, ending with, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" Today's readers are Cara L., who will read the text, Chanel T., A Vision for You, and Shelley E. is our backup. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, January 7th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,096, and for Thursday, January 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,099. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathleen C. in Connecticut to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. I will now ask Joanne L. in Rhode Island to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. Oh, good morning, Susan, and good morning to everyone, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, and I am recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and thanks for your service today, Susan.
Hi, Beth. Thank you. Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 12 in Bill's story, the second paragraph. My friend suggested ending with, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" I will now ask Kara L. in Southern California to start reading and share with us. Thank you so much, Kara.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Susan. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. My friend suggested what seemed like a novel idea. He said, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" Short but powerful paragraph. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. And I always I always glean by this, yes, yes, and then I go to the next paragraph and I really dive in. And I said, why don't I choose my own conception of God? Well, the one I grew up with really was too busy to have any interest in me. And that was the one I had brought into program. Why would I ask a power greater than myself about my food? Why would a power even care? And so, you know, over the years, I've had to do the work. And when I had a big spiritual awakening, it came to me that, like, the more I say I don't know how to do this, and the more I ask for help, the more help I get. And I had to be in the steps. I had to clear away a lot of the wreckage of the past, and I have to be in the steps daily because I forget that I need to be fairly dumb. You know, I need to not know how to fix things. I need to not know how to figure it out. I need to be able to say, God, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. It was kind of hard for me when I was thinking of a power greater than myself as being an all-knowing, all-powerful thing, entity that didn't have time for me. And How did I start working that into my program? How did that begin to change? Well, I started asking my higher power opinion on everything, and I would go with whatever was intuitive. What did I wear today? What did I eat for breakfast? What color of lipstick? What do you think these earrings got? Are these earrings got? No, I didn't get like answers, you know, like a burning bush. What I got was just an intuitive feeling, and I would just go with it. I still do that today. When I'm dressing or when I'm eating or whatever, I stop and I say, well, we thank God, because it gave me the practice of stopping, pausing, asking. And so I just started doing, and I still, today I do it with everything. And when I remember, I say, God, I invite you in. In the morning, I say, God, I give you this day and everything in this day. Please put in front of me what you need me to accomplish. And that's what I have to do so I can remind myself that I'm not in charge of everything, right? And that my higher power is concerned with every breath I take. Sometimes I just say to myself, breathe God in. Open the door, invite God in. Surround yourself in God's
time.
With that, I pass. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you so much. All right. If you came in during that beautiful share, let me tell you what Cara was speaking about. Page 12, the second paragraph, my friend suggested, through to why don't you choose your own conception of God. So those are the two sentences that we're sharing on today. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today. So if you'd like to share, please press star one and unmute.
Chanel T.
Eileen M.
Mary
Gayla.
Zach M.
I heard Gayla. I heard Zach, but there was somebody else.
Eileen.
I got Eileen.
Chanel T.
I got you, Chanel. I got, here's who I had. Chanel, Eileen, Gayla, and Zach. But then I'm missing a couple.
Donna B.
Thank you, Donna.
Mary
You're in Colorado,
C.
right? Mary C.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And Eileen is on the East Coast somewhere, Chanel's in Washington State. Zach, where are you from and what's your last initial, please?
California.
Thank you. All right. So here's who I have, and you'll all give your full details when you speak, please, just so if people want to call you, they can find you. Chanel T, Eileen M, Gayla, Zach in California, Donna B in Colorado, and Mary C. So if everybody other than Chanel could mute their line, Chanel will start us off. Thank you so much, Chanel.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for your faithful service to this meeting or program. Hi, I'm Chanel T in Washington State, grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. This paragraph is a lifesaver for me, and we have to go all the way back to 1994. Yeah, I'm a little old, and I was in a meeting for a program where I didn't belong. The Grandpapa program, and I was there because a boyfriend was there, whoever I was dating at the time, and they were reading out of this book, and so I'd sit in the back of the room, and I'd read along, and I was unhappily calling myself agnostic when I was really an atheist. I just didn't want you to know that because I wanted you to like me, and I thought you wouldn't, and I lied a lot. In the disease, I lied a lot, just so you'd like me, just so things would be okay. And I was there partly to be with him and partly because they'd go on a smoke break halfway through, and I'd go in and binge my brains out on their free binge foods because they had great binge foods there. What happened? I kept this God that sounded really cool, truthful, faithful, not at all the lightning and thunder and the earth is going to fall out from under me that I thought might be if there was one, not someone who would hate me because I figured I'd done so many wrongs. God would hate me. if there was one. So I wasn't going to believe in one. But when I heard this, these two sentences, I don't remember this moment of hearing these two sentences, but it reminds me of that time. Because it is actually the big book and the idea, conception, the beginning, conception, both are part of the definition of conception, right? That I realized, oh, I can have a higher power that works for me. Not in the sense of works for me, like do what I want, because that's definitely not how my higher power is. My higher power is much higher than me, much greater in power than me, but that loves me and wants the best for me and will always be there for me. And as I started to hear about that and see that in other people in that meeting, in the boyfriend I had at the time, that planted a seed that didn't come to fruition for a little bit, but I eventually got more and more curious to the point that I just couldn't ignore it anymore. And I had to have whatever that higher power was. So even though I wasn't in any program at that time, or even looking for one, very, very much in this disease.
That's time.
I found, thank you. I was able to find my own conception of a higher power that has saved my life. And so does this program. And I thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Chanel. Next, we have Eileen M. in New Hampshire. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan. My name is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And oh, what a great sentence. I mean, this was probably a defining moment for the fellowship, for the development of it. You know, I kind of grew up with this belief about God that if you're angry with God, you're being ungrateful for your life, basically. And the belief I had was that God was punishing unreasonable and frequently angry with me. And, well, you know, I realized, you know, in working the steps with my sponsor was that I was attributing the characteristics of my parents onto God. So, you know, if my parents were punishing, then God was punishing. And I learned that from working on these steps with her. You know, my sponsor told me that I could replace that punishing God with one that worked for me. And that was completely life-changing. I mean, I remember it took a while. It was a kind of an evolutionary thing. But, you know, today I believe that God is not affected by my emotions. You know, God is so much bigger than my emotions. And here's the thing is, if you're an atheist and you're struggling, we have a program for you. You know, we have a way out that works, is that you too can, you know, get recovered, even if you don't believe in God at all. We invite you to believe anything you want about God. You know, God could be a tree outside your window. And that's how I started out. God was a tree. You know, God was in nature. And, you know, in the book it says, this is a direct quote from the book, it says, all that was required for me to make my beginning, that's the end of the quote. And then, you know, for me, it was, I had to believe that something greater than myself would restore me to sanity. I mean, that's what the step says, step two. And, you know, it was really something that really surprised me was, you know, I got this sponsor from Vision, and she's very religious, and I am not a religious person at all. And her definition of God is very different from mine. And the amazing thing is that it worked. I mean, I got recovered, and I thought that was going to be an obstacle to recovery, was that she and I didn't believe the same thing about God, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to get another sponsor. But the thing is, I didn't have to get another sponsor. It worked. I was so amazed by that. And, you know, the last thing I'll say is, you know, to me, God is love. And I'm so grateful to God because I've been recovered for a long time. And, you know, today, for the first time, I have joy in my life. I don't mean just today. I mean, you know, lately in my life, I've had a lot of joy. And the thing with joy is it's not a product of external circumstances. It does not depend on what's going on in your life. It's just something that comes from, you know, I'm comfortable with myself. And I believe that comes directly from God. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eileen. Next, we have Gayla. And Gayla, if you could please give us your last initial and where you are calling from this morning. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Susan. Thank you, everyone, for being here, all of your service. I am Gayla S., and I live in Los Angeles. I love this part of the big book. It stood out to me at the very beginning. As I started recovery work, one of the biggest fears for me that was that I would lose my faith, the faith I had been nurtured in and grew up with. However, this gave me permission and the wisdom to seek and adapt with the higher power that would help me, that would be my guide, that would be my friend, that would be my support. And it has worked. I can remember various sponsors. One had me write a description of a want ad, what I wanted in a higher power, what I needed in a higher power. And I've discovered through the years that I didn't really grow up with a punitive God. I had created a punitive God. And that did come also, as has been mentioned, that I identified with just now, is it was someone more aligned with my parents. My parents really were tortured souls in many ways and very punitive, very toxic. The other thing I realized was that some leadership in my church were more punitive than others. Thirdly, the family I grew up in, the dysfunction, everything depended on me. A child's mind, I have since learned, is one that attributes guilt and blame to themselves. And I had done that, and I grew up thinking if I did not control, if I didn't keep things on board, if I didn't do what I needed to do, I was in control, the whole family would fall apart. And I remember coming into program, that was the most difficult thing for me to say, that serenity was number one, that my well-being and the serenity for me to feel good was number one, so that I could be of service to God. So I had to dispense with that. As a child's mind is very, very different from a mature adult's mind. So today, and most recently, I've had a sponsor that taught me two-way prayer. And that has been magnificent. That has been life-altering for me. And that's prayer and meditation, that I ask God and God answers. So I just cannot express how incredibly grateful I am for this program and a higher
time.
And with that, I'll close. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gayla S. in Los Angeles. Next, we have Zach in California. And Zach, if you could give us your last initial, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Zach M. from California. And I feel like I am still in the proverbial desert when it comes to understanding who my higher power is. Sorry if it's loud, I'm walking. But I feel like I've been on a spiritual journey for a couple decades now, even before. I've only been in program a couple years, but I believe I've been on a search for God since I was 21, and I'm 38 now, and I just wouldn't have described it that way. I had this experience that I was raised atheist, which I'm actually grateful for, because it gave me the opportunity to come to my an understanding of my higher, but continue to come to it without the baggage I've seen in some other fellows. I didn't even know what to call this experience at 21. I called it the joy. And, I spent years, it changed the course of my life, and it's been years trying to reproduce that feeling. And it actually produced all sorts of wonderful things in my life. I moved across the country, got into a master's program. It also produced all sorts of horrible things in my life. I dropped out of the master's program, discovered that I was an addict. Basically, yeah, I've had all these breadcrumbs, it seems, from God. I'm losing my train of thought. But, just recently I had, I'm not a Christian, but I'm good friends with one, and she invited me to this 3-day prayer session. And while I didn't go for the 3 days, I kept an open mind and went for one of these 2-hour prayer sessions during. I know that prayer intellectually is something that is a tool that we use because it's in the book and people talk about it. But in my heart, it never meant anything to me, and I didn't see the value in it. This 2-hour prayer session blew my mind. I was sobbing uncontrollably, and I felt like a wave of grief, relief just washing over me. And I couldn't even put it into words. Thank you. I'll wrap up. My point is, I still feel like I'm in the desert when it comes to God. But I'm not afraid of that. And I think I'm actually happy to be, and I'm excited to see how it reveals itself further as I charge this happy road of destiny with y'all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Zach M. in California. Next, we have Donna B., I believe, in Colorado. Thank you, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., calling from Colorado. My name is spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna. And that's how you can find me on the member list. So this word conception is an interesting one for me. I had difficulty conceiving a pregnancy. And I didn't get to choose when I was pregnant or not. I had to go through the actions of conceiving somehow, really miraculously. And that process of conception included the old-fashioned way, birds and the bees, as well as the intervention of physicians, pills and shots. And for those women and men who've been through that experience, it's pretty treacherous and pretty painful. And there's a lot of disappointment and there's a lot of loss. And so this idea of why don't you choose your own conception of God? When I read that, I don't read, you can pick whatever you want and just go with it. You can just make up whatever you want and that'll be your God. What I hear here instead is that I can choose to go on the journey of conceiving. And in that process, I will take the actions that are human nature as well as medically advised or, you know, given direction by outside people, the experience of others. There were many, many women and men ahead of me who had been through the journey of conceiving, even faced with many challenges. And so for me, I recoiled from the idea of just make something up and go along with it, which is what I heard, right? So I bring myself to the program. That's what I heard. And because I thought if I just make something up, then it doesn't really feel like something mystical and majestic. But this experience of going through the steps, going through the actions, going through the highs and lows and the losses, and ultimately, I did conceive many times. I had quite a number of miscarriages, but I did, they call them take-home babies. So I did take home 2 babies in the end. And so I use this metaphor.
That's time.
Thank you. And if you'd like to know more about this weird metaphor, please call me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Mary C. in Ohio. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, everyone. Mary C. from Ohio, compulsive overeater. And I just love this one, your own conception of God. I just never thought that was possible. You know, I grew up in the church, went to Catholic school my whole life, and I was taught to fear God. And as a little child, I was terrified of God. And God is a punishing God, and he sees every bad thing you do. And, you know, once I became a grown-up, I just thought God really didn't care that much about me, about my ordinary life, my little things. Only the big things in life God cared about, and certainly didn't care that I was overweight and what I ate. And this program has just opened my eyes, and now I have a loving God that cares about me and that cares about what not only what I eat, but cares about the little things and also the big things. And I realize God has been there with me all these years. You know, he's just been waiting for me to wake up. And I have finally woken up. And, you know, now God is my friend and somebody that I talk to every day now, every morning. God is with me, and when I actually sometimes I'm smiling in the morning when I say my prayers, and God brings love and comfort and peace and serenity to my life. And with that, I think I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary C. in Ohio. All right, before I take the next round of names for sharing, a reminder where we are. Page 12, my friend suggested, this is the second paragraph, through to why don't you choose your own conception of God? And that's the one paragraph we're speaking on today. So today is your third day to share on either vision meeting. Please, could you give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today? Who would like to share?
Mary Lillian Roy.
Okay, hold on. Mary... something, and then
Mary Lillian K.
And what, Mary Lillian, where are you calling from, please?
Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Dion R.
Dion R. I heard that there was somebody else with Dion.
Cheryl A. B.
Cheryl A. B.
Yes.
Great. And Cheryl, where are you calling from?
Ventura, California.
Oh, hi, Cheryl. Good morning.
Hello.
Okay. And Dion, where are you calling from this morning?
Georgia.
Thank you. Okay. Who else would like to share?
Alice
this
G.
group? Alice, thank you.
Dana P., California.
Okay. Dana. Thank you, Dana. All right. Let's stop there and we'll see where we go time-wise. I have Mary Lillian K. in Philadelphia, Dion R. in Georgia, Cheryl in Ventura County, Alice, who I can't remember where she's from, but she will tell us, and Dana P. in California. So if everybody other than Mary Lillian K. could mute their line. Mary Lillian, please share with us.
Thank you so much for sharing. And this is a tough paragraph here. It was tough for me because I grew up loving my Catholic faith, and I learned that I was confused because this Jesus was supposed to be compassionate. However, that's my dog in the background. God was, I feared God, and I forgot about my faith, left the faith when I got in my addiction. When I came into OA, I was really basically an atheist. And when I read that paragraph, I said, I don't want to choose my own conception of God. My own way is nothing. I want to find the real true God. That was my modus operandi. And then I went to this workshop where we had to have a job description, and it fit that he would have to be human. How could he identify with the boot camp of Earth unless he was on Earth? And it ended up being Jesus. And what gave me that decision was, some of you in my generation remember the show To Tell the Truth. And will the real God stand up? I let the burden off me. I didn't want to choose my own conception. My way doesn't work. So it ended up being my Savior Jesus, and I'm eternally grateful that he can help me, yes, measure my food and put it on the scale. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Next we have Dion R. in Georgia. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, family. This is Dion R. from Georgia. Very grateful for all your shares and reminding me of how blessed and how infinite my God is. And someone mentioned about an oak tree. It just reminded me, I used to go to a clubhouse that was called Oak Street. It was on Oak Street and it had a big oak tree outside. And I needed that conception because in the Big Book Dictionary, it's just the sum of a person's ideas and a belief about something. The sum of my ideas was, you go to church, the minister can do and say whatever he wants to you and your family. You can get beat, you can get raped, you can get whatever, but you better be quiet because you're doing this because you're bad, right? You're just bad. So growing up, couldn't wait till I turned 18 to denounce that God and of what they taught me. And so coming into the program in 1989, I was able to, I love that. They said, you could choose that tree right outside. If that tree you think going to be there tomorrow, just do that and put all that anger aside. Because I was angry. I was really boxed with this God they talking about. But the gift is, God met me where I was at. No matter where my summation was at, he met me where I was at. And I think I was low, lower than the lowest of low. But he met me. And this is what this paragraph reminded me of, what Eddie is telling Bill. He will meet you where you're at. Just be ready and willing and open. Because if not, I always stuck out to me is what Herbert Spencer would say. Only thing that can keep me in everlasting hell, but it says ignorance, was content prior to investigation. So I kept an open mind and made that tree my God. Became my sponsor, became a group, until the God I have of my own understanding, which is my Lord and Savior. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, and I love you all. Be blessed.
Thank you so much, Dion R. in Georgia. Next, we have Cheryl A.D. in Ventura, California. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Susan, for your service and everybody doing service this morning. I'm Cheryl A.D., recovered compulsive overeater from Ventura, California. I got excited when I heard this today because this was really meaningful to me the last time I went through the steps after had succumbed to this disease. And this part, I had a new experience with it because I had a discussion with the person guiding me. And we talked about this word conception. What is a conception? A conception is a beginning. It's a beginning. And it's all deciding on a course of action. It's forming or devising a plan or idea. And also, you know, today I'm thinking about the word choose. Choose is to pick out or select the best or most appropriate of one or more alternatives. So to me, this is really big. It's more than just thinking about what this power could be. I'm at a turning point here. Am I going to choose to continue to go on in this bitter morass of self-pity and destruction and horror that I've been living in? Or am I going to choose something else? Am I going to choose a new beginning? And when there's a conception, I don't know what will necessarily happen. I'm making a choice to follow a new course. And for me, that means following the directions in this that were laid out by people who had miraculous recoveries and transformations. It also personally meant to me that I was going to be headed in a direction of being what's described by Bill of Ebi as on a different footing. His roots grasped new soil. He was reorganized. So I was extremely hopeless. And this discussion and this experience helped me to see that there were possibilities here. And it was suggested that I can have a miracle on Post-its because I didn't feel like anything could happen for me. And I did. I put it all around my house. And so it's not for me about specifics. It's about a process and about hope and possibility and openness. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl A.D. and Ventura. Next, we have Alice G. I think you're in Wisconsin, but I could be wrong, so please feel free to correct me. Thank you, Alice.
Yes, Alice G. in Wisconsin, compulsive overeater, and gratefully recovered by the grace of God. Thank you all for your shares. It's been a powerful meeting, and thank you for everyone doing service. I am just really reminded, as well as choosing our own conception, that this is about tradition 3, that the only requirement for membership in Overeaters Anonymous is a desire to stop eating compulsively or your behaviors. And I'm so grateful for that, because there are no dues or fees or conformity or any rules about coming into this program. You don't have to believe in a power greater than yourself. And if you want a seat here, if I want a seat here, it's okay for me to take that seat. I just need to have a desire to stop. And I thank God for the gift of desperation that brought me to a place where I was willing to go to any length for recovery. And there are those of us too who are atheists. I am not, but I understand that they get to take a seat here. And for me, when I came in, I had a sponsor that said, your higher power loves you just the way you are, and your higher power loves you too much to let you stay that way. So keep coming back. And for me too, in the next chapter, I think it's the next chapter, or We Agnostics, it talks about the God of Reason. And I really had a lot of faith in my own reason, my own thinking, my own will, which had to be abandoned in order for this obsession to be removed. I had to believe in something greater than myself that wasn't me. So I'm really grateful that you all are here. I can't do this by myself. So thank you for the opportunity to share. Yes.
Thank you, Alice G. in Wisconsin. Next, we have Dana P. in California. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, my friends and fellows. This is Dana P. in California. Please stop me if there's too much distracted noise. I'm kind of in a noisy spot, but I checked it out in the big book and the 12 by 12. The word beginning comes up 45 times, and then beginnings, I think, a handful of times. And that's what we're talking about right here. Another fellow commented about that beginning. I've had a lot of different people share with me ways to come to that place and write a want ad, list everything you want and need. But the most powerful thing I hear from a fellow about God, if you will, that power greater than myself, well, too, is it's not a God of my own conception. It's a God of my not conception, God of my not understanding, because it evolves and grows every single day. And all I need to do is to stay present, open, honest, and willing. And the second thing is, all I need to know is this power that is greater than me exists, and it's not me. It's not me. If I follow these simple instructions, I will find that it lives in me, grows in me on a daily basis. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what makes it personal. It's in me. It's in you and you and you and you and every single one of you. But yours is not in me. Only mine is. And the two-way prayer was mentioned. I highly recommend that beautiful exercise, daily exercise, with connecting to this God of my not understanding, to this oak tree, to the acorn, whatever the heck it is. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much, Susan, for your service, and everyone have a lovely day.
Thank you, Dana P. All right, we have enough time for one more share. So first voice I hear gets it. Who would like it? Who's holding out?
Vanessa G.
Go ahead, Vanessa. Thank you.
Neil P.
It's Vanessa. We only have time for the one. Go ahead, Vanessa. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. I am. I love the meeting this morning and love hearing about everybody's spiritual awakening in the program. I just, you know, for me, though, I have to remember that when I'm taking someone else through the steps, and this is for anybody who's new, too, is that we just start where we start. And whatever else happens as a result of going through the steps, I've always witnessed a spiritual awakening, both in myself and in my sponsees, as a result of going through the steps. You know, the 12th step really promises that, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. Whatever happens in that process, I do believe that you find a higher power. And you learn to call it whatever you do call it. I've learned to call it God. And it does for me what I could not do for myself. I can abstain from compulsive overeating. I can abstain from my, you know, alcoholic foods. But more than that, I have been gifted with the ability to love. I have been gifted with the ability to be, you know, subservient to reality, I guess, to a certain extent, to be able to accept life on life's terms. It's an amazing process going through those steps. It was amazing for me. I keep my mind open. I try to not settle on any, you know, once I find, you know, a relationship with God, I try always to deepen it and always to be open and to enlarging my relationship and my understanding. You know, this is choose your own conception. Conception in an earlier share shared it beautifully is the beginning. So just choose your beginning. And it just depends on where you're at. It doesn't have to be much more than just saying, okay, I'm going to do this process and see what happens. Thank you so much for being here for me this morning. Thank you so much for contributing to my recovery. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Thank you, Team Thursday, Cara, Chanel, Shelley, Kathleen, Joanne. Please stay on with Alice and Leslie, and especially if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Chanel T., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Thank you. I am still Chanel, still grateful and recovered here in Washington State by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past.
give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.